Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Tearsheet Podcast, where we explore financial services together with an eye on technology, innovation, emerging models, and changing expectations. I'm Tearsheet Editor-in-Chief Zach Miller. Understanding how a system works is the first step to leveraging it to your advantage. However, in an environment where just seven states provide education in personal finance, younger generations like Gen Z are starting out at a massive disadvantage. But some fintechs, like family education and finance-focused company Greenlight, have started to build products that aim to fill in this gap. The company's financial literacy game, Level Up, offers children a chance to engage with personal finance topics in a fun, gamified environment. In this conversation, Greenlight's Senior Vice President of Business Development, Matt Wolf, joins me on stage at our Gen Z Symposium held March 7th, 2024 in New York City. Matt delves into the state of Gen Z's financial literacy and their expectation that FI should operationalize their position as a trusted source to better inform and educate the coming generation about personal finance. He also shares why this expectation is sometimes difficult for banks to meet fully, and how partnerships can help ease some of the technical and business difficulties with building Gen Z-focused financial literacy products. Here's my conversation with Matt. Next up, we have Matt Wolf, SVP of Business Development at Greenlight, the family finance company, which has already been talked about before you were even here, by the way, on a mission to help parents raise financially smart kids. He oversees Greenlight's B2B strategy, including partnerships with leading brands like JPMorgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, Amazon, and T-Mobile. Matt also led the launch of the B2B programs for, like Greenlight for Banks, a first of its kind family banking solution for banks and credit unions, and Greenlight for Work, an employee benefit program focused on financial wellness. And prior to Greenlight, Matt established the business development and partnerships function at SimpliSafe and held leadership roles with top consumer brands like Citi, Burger King, and the New England Patriots. Go Pats. Matt holds an MBA from Harvard Business School and a BA from Middlebury College. Welcome.
Thanks, Zach. It's great to see you in person. Yeah. Your beard is somehow more majestic than it is over Zoom and taping. It's great to be here.
My youngest daughter said, "Dad, you know, it's the fact that everybody recognizes you with the beard is because you identify with it. It's time to get rid of it." She's Gen Z,
by the way. Yeah, never get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So I've got a few questions for you, Matt. We can just jump right into it. Let's start with, what factors do you believe will contribute to the significant gap in financial literacy and education within U.S. schools? Something we've talked about a little bit today. And what role do you see social media platforms playing in financial education for Gen Z?
Yeah, and apologies, I got here late, so some of this may have already been covered. But you know, certainly we see with Gen Z, it's really a very unique generation. We know that they are very socially conscious. We know that, of course, they can't go anywhere without their phone, which my guess is you guys have discussed already today. What is really interesting is that they're very financially curious. We find over 90% of them believe that they need strong financial education and skills to kind of achieve their goals in the future, which is really interesting. I don't know if, you know, when I was a teenager, I was thinking that way at all. Yeah, not at all. But what's interesting is when you poll them, three out of four believe that they don't currently, you know, have the skill sets they need, and they don't, you know, they're not confident in their skills. And at Greenlight, you know, we focus a lot on Gen Z. We focus a lot on their parents too. We actually market to the parents. We don't market directly to the Gen Zer typically, and it's not surprising. The parents of Gen Z list providing you know, financial guidance as like really the number one life skill they don't feel equipped to teach. So it's like I said, it's not a surprise that they're running into that. Then it comes down to kind of what role the schools are playing. And I think we've seen a lot of progress over the last few years in schools mandating, or I should say states mandating financial education, but we're still at only about 30 states that mandate it. And if you look at a population that has actually taken the national financial education standards test among teenagers in high school, they're only scoring about a 64. So the opportunity is huge, you know, to address this, to your point. You know, I don't know firsthand, my kids are not Gen Z, they're Gen Alpha. And even though they want a phone, they don't have one yet. They will definitely love being on social media when they get there. But yeah, our research and the families we talk to very much so they're going to TikTok to get investing advice. And you can obviously imagine kind of some of the consequences that that can lead to if we're not educating that next generation, you know, lack of savings. And so, you know, needs for emergency savings, or, you know, we've, you know, seen pitfalls with some risky investment strategies, and learning best credit practices is really something I think it falls to a lot of us in the room here to kind of help fill that gap that schools are not meeting.
I appreciate that. And that actually underscores something that I felt throughout the day today. I think if we had done this a year ago, we would have spent a lot of time talking about, well, what is Gen Z? What are those attributes? And now we're actually, we're much more in the qualitative part of this conversation, as well as like, well, what are we doing? Like we're beyond that conversation. So I'm kind of curious, given your perspective, what do you think the expectations that teens and their parents have of their banks in regards to trying to provide them holistic financial well-being in 2024?
Yeah. And, you know, similar to some of the research I quoted earlier, we actually understand that, you know, Gen Z and their parents expect you guys to do a lot. Almost, you know, 95% of parents that responded to our own research and surveys said that they expect their financial institution to be the one that educates their kids. What was interesting, too, is only 16% of those same people we talked to said that their financial institution offers financial education tools. We know for a fact, we don't come across a bank, we don't come across a credit union that doesn't have some sort of financial education resources. So
it's missing its mark somewhere.
It's missing the mark somehow. And frankly, it's why at Greenlight, we've devoted massive resources, both from an R&D side and from a go-to-market side of building a solutions, you know, for banks, for credit unions, knowing that, like, you know, it's missing the mark probably because you're not necessarily hitting the Gen Z or where they're at, right? And from what our experience in talking to thousands of financial institutions, probably at this point, not necessarily a core competency of a lot of banks to build really compelling mobile experiences and mobile education experiences that resonate, you know, with this younger generation. And that's kind of a place that we think we can help. And right now we work with about 50 banks and credit unions trying to do that.
So where do you see banks being able to fill that gap between the expectations and what people report that feeling unsatisfied with the educational system?
Yeah. You know, some of it, and I know, you know, your marketing teams, those resources are really constrained and you're having to fight for messaging. And if it comes to, hey, can we talk about financial health, or can we talk about an additional lending product? You know, sometimes you're going to lose out on that. But one, just making it clear what you do have available and articulating that to your customer bases. I would say making sure any solutions you have in there, you know, are up to date. We don't believe Gen Z is going to read a very detailed blog on, you know, best financial practices. We don't think that they're going to, you know, read a downloadable white paper that you have per se. So having making sure that your mobile app and other experiences you have meet what their expectations are really, you know, really quite important. You know, we see a lot of banks in terms of what they can do. And this is, I am a completely biased opinion here, so I'll clarify that. Every bank we talk to has in their ranks, they've got a, we can build this faction, right? And there's some faction that says, yeah, we could build it, but we probably shouldn't, because there's a lot of other things we got to build. Or maybe no, if we did build this, we might have something like a Greenlight has. We'd have it in 2026. And by then, because they have 500 people only thinking about a gamified financial education experience, they'll have already moved off, or current, you know, they'll have already moved on to what is next, right? And I think if anything, Gen Z seems to be adjusting their expectations pretty quickly. You know, my advice is, like I said, it's biased. You know, I do think taking a kind of buy or partner approach and really thinking about it is a good opportunity to start to meet the mark.
Could you provide specific examples of targeted educational campaigns that banks could use to target this demographic?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a partner, Community Financial Credit Union. Their CEO, Tansley Stearns, is really adept at social media. She's got a daughter who's 12 years old, big Taylor Swift fan, did a whole kind of online.
Who isn't, by the way?
Yeah, well, that's a good point, too. Yeah, who isn't? online social media campaign around saving money to try to, she probably like cashed in her college savings to be able to go to that tour this summer. But, things like that, you know, creating compelling content, I think is one that we see, do quite well. Certainly, consistent with what we talked about, having it in that kind of fun, bite-sized approach, where Gen Z will consume that easily is really valuable. And then, I think it's probably been brought up earlier today, but their need for gamification and really the consistently having something like be playing a game. They grew up with the device in their hand playing games. It only was exacerbated during COVID. That need was why Greenlight created spend controls on categories, because so many parents were telling us that their kids' online gaming spend was crazy. So being able to take some of these experiences and making them gamified can be really valuable as well.
I'm also wondering if there's something in, we did have some speakers talk today about going to TikTok for financial advice, which can be good or can be dangerous, but there's something about the authenticity of the seeming authenticity of a TikToker that is different than going to a bank CEO. I guess, how do you reconcile that? Like, is it something that banks, by their just who they are and what they are they like tainted in a way in terms of providing accurate for this generation? I'm
just curious. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with any big time bank executives who are also TikTok influencers, but maybe someone in this room is the sweet spot. Maybe this is the big takeaway from the 5 minutes we're going to chat, that one of you needs to take the plunge. It's not going to be me. But I do just go back to that example of the CEO of a credit union we work with in Michigan. She's not on TikTok, but like, getting yourself out there, you are a trusted source. And like some of that data I mentioned earlier, they do value experts, mm-hmm. and who, but to your point, can be authentic. So trying to meet them where they are, I think makes a lot of sense.
Appreciate that. How can banks create digitally native solutions that align with the mobile experiences Gen Z expects? And how can these solutions increase in-app engagement?
Yeah, certainly back to what I mentioned around the gamification piece, I think is really critical. Something that gets them kind of continually coming back and engaging is really important. I think, generally what I see from the banks we work with are the ones that we talk to, they're already thinking, about the ideal user experiences within their app. They're designing, for certain customer segments in mind, having dynamic content and in terms of what showed into specific segments. I think a lot of banks are already doing that. If I have a mortgage versus if I have a student loan is an example. So would certainly encourage that, to continue.
And where, given all the conversations you've had with banks, where do you think they are, I guess, on a slider between being ready to fully commit to addressing this audience? And we started the day with this. I guess it's a good full circle. We created this today for the reason that we heard from bankers that they wanted to have this. And yet there were no bankers, like literally technical people who work for incumbent banks here on stage, even though there had been plans for that. And I think part of that came from this reluctance to admit that they're not fully baked. These ideas aren't fully baked. They're not fully committed. So where do you see, like, how does that fall out in your conversations?
Yeah. We see increasingly banks having a really strong appetite. And some of it could be the economic environment, and where many banks are seeing deposit flight, and obviously net interest margin being so key, but really being focused on that next generation. Clearly, if you look at a lot of banks, the concentration of their deposits is in, what some banks call, like the baby boomer segment, and then seniors even above that. There's going to be this massive generational wealth transfer that we all know about, and making sure we don't have deposit flight because of that is starting to really resonate. So, to your question,
but it does require building for the future.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And it takes making sacrifices to that point. I mean, my team works, with around, like I mentioned earlier, around 50 different FIs now. We've got another 300 that are actively exploring it. I was late here because I was just speaking to 35 executives at a major bank.
If 300 banks in the pipeline?
over 300 banks that are actively evaluating this, and just was with three dozen execs earlier at a major bank who were or actually issued the first, you know, RFP around this, right? So I think they're understanding that kind of engaging and inquiring and having a relationship with that next generation is good for their, I think, immediate bottom lines. But then even just looking at, you know, what's the future societal consequences in their communities if, you know, people are making bad investments, if they're being very, you know, loose with how they use credit, it's going to be critical. But yeah, I think we are at an inflection point. I think we are seeing a lot more interest.
To that point, I don't know if he's in the room, but Dave Donovan from Publicis Sapient used to say, like, he was pitching a top 10 bank CEO on Gen Z. And the response that came back was, they don't make me any money right
now. Yeah.
Right. It's true. It does require an eye towards future profits.
Yeah. And I'll just say, like I said, I am biased, but this is where the kind of, should I build this or should I buy it or should I partner it? And the great thing about not building it yourself is that you don't have to go full head in on this, right? It allows, you know, we have 500 engineers and R&D folks that are just focused on testing what resonates with Gen Z and Gen Alpha. You know, we tell our partners, you can use us as an innovation lab and understand if you really want to make a major investment there.
So I do believe, and this is something I've said, you know, in our reporting and on the podcast, that traditional financial institutions, their ability to partner at scale and at size is a differentiator, I think, going forward. So I agree with that. Matt, it's always great to speak to you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Zach, and great to see you all.